Today, November 1st, it's Thursday. It's time for Open Line. I'm your host, Brian Bowes. And for those of you who are in the know, happy All Saints Day on this day, the day after Halloween. We got a full program to bring you later on in the hour. We'll visit with Randy Gates, who is Okanagan County Auditor candidate to replace the retiring auditor, Lori Thomas. But first up, incumbent Okanagan County Commissioner seeking re-election, Jim Dietro. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Brian.
So obviously, you decided that enough isn't enough, and I'm guessing you decided to run again because A, you still have a passion for the people and the issues of Okanagan County, and B, I'm guessing you have some unfinished business.
Correct.
Maybe to attend to, which is what?
I refer to it as unfinished business because I do have one of my greatest passions is a smoke jumper base, and
oh, yeah.
I'm trying to get it. My goal is to get it granted in perpetuity. Being a smoke jumper, that's been on my plate the whole time that I've run and served. Excuse me. And we're making really good headway towards that. So that and Apex.
Just on that, I'm sorry, on that issue, spoke with Congressman Newhouse on Friday.
Yeah, I heard you.
You definitely have an advocate back in Washington, D.C. for that perpetuity
absolutely.
Status. So, yeah,
yep.
good news
yeah.
for us.
Yeah. Well, when I was in Spokane, I used to fly down to the backcountry airports in northern Idaho. Mm-hmm. And where I got that idea was we're working on those backcountry airports. They were trying to close them. Another green movement, you know. And Frank Church, the Frank Church Wilderness, all of the airports in the Frank Church Wilderness were granted in perpetuity. Nobody could touch them. They couldn't close them.
Yeah.
And so that's where what made me come up with the idea, you know, that yeah. we should do that with the smoke jumper base. And it's a congressional act, and I hope that that Dan is he's behind it
yeah.
all the way, and I hope that he's able to do something in that regard. It's a very valuable asset to Okanagan County.
Yeah, on many levels, you know.
Yeah, it's a, you know, a $2 million budget, which means
yeah.
nothing to, like, where they wanted to move it to Wenatchee or to Yakima, but it's a big deal to
right.
Winthrop.
Yeah. That, I mean, it's strategic location, but also just the historic,
yep.
the historicness of it all.
Yeah, 1939.
Before I cut you off, yeah. Before I cut you off, you were talking. I think you were going Apex Predators.
That's another one of my
okay.
on the list of unfinished business.
Yeah,
and so it's, you know, wolves, grizzly bears, and cougars. You know, they're just if you think about it. Can you name one predator that is not protected?
Yes.
What?
Man.
Oh.
I'm sorry. That was probably inappropriate.
That's very good.
But
yeah.
Okay. No, I get your point. Well stated. Yeah, really.
Yeah, and they, you know, they protect these predators, and the predators, you know, the only enemy that they have is man.
Sure.
And you know, if man's excluded from taking care of predator problems,
right?
You can see what's happened. You know, look at the wolf issue. It's out of hand, totally out of hand.
And really, I mean, from a county commissioner standpoint, even though the Department of Fish and Wildlife has an approved policy in place, and they're not adhering to their own policy,
mm-hmm.
as a county commissioner, what resources do you have? What options do you have then?
Well, I have been working on this situation, as have Joel and Shelley. Boy, I'll tell you, Shelley has got volumes of information that she's worked on the wolf. And I was talking to him late one night last week or a week and a half ago, and I said, you know, you guys are no farther ahead than you were 15 years ago when we started out on this endeavor. And they said, we know. We don't know what to do, where at our wit's end. And I said, well, I have an idea. And I've been talking to the tribe about it. Yeah, the Indians, you know, on the reservation, they have 9 kill permits. And a year ago, they opened up the north half also. And nobody Not one agency, not any of the NGOs, the wolf huggers. Nobody will contest the Indians. So I approached Cody Disitel. I sit on the Wildland Fire Advisory Committee with him, and told him, I said, I'd like to get together with the tribe and have a intergovernmental agreement between the council and the Board of County Commissioners and turn the jurisdiction of the wolves over to the tribe in all of Okanagan County. And that wouldn't mean that just any Indian can go hunt wolves at any time. We would pick a select few, and if somebody has a problem, some rancher has a problem, the Board of County Commissioners and the council would get together and they'd pick these select few and say, hey, you guys go take care of the problem. And interestingly enough, when I broached this to the director of Fish and Wildlife, former director, Unsworth, not the new one, he just looked out the window and said, no comment. What's that tell you?
That quietly speaks volumes.
Yes.
Really, about that. Okay, so I think we have a pretty good clear understanding of where you stand on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't the only thing going on in Okanagan County.
Correct.
This is a huge county in terms of, obviously, it's area, the land size and such, and a lot of diversity up and down the county of thoughts and a way of life and approaching things. You have a lot of things on your plate to deal with through this county. And of course, one of the things that keeps coming up time and time again, especially after the two successive years of wildfires that we got hit really bad with, is housing. Our housing shortage, we're facing a housing crisis where to rent a two-bedroom apartment is almost approaching $1,000 just for the rent. I believe the housing authority has kind of put a moratorium because the wait list is years long now. Low-income subsidized housing wait list years long, preferential treatment given to large families and migrant workers, and it's just becoming a crisis. What can be done about that from a commissioner's standpoint? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Community Action is heavily involved in housing.
Yeah.
And they have the CDPG block grants that comes in the form of a grant. And that's how some of this housing is funded and supported. I'm a proponent of that low-income housing, especially if they give senior citizen or veterans preference.
Mm-hmm.
The homeless housing is... I've watched this, and homeless housing, you build it and they will come. So I think that we should concentrate more on that low-income housing that gets young people a chance to, you know, get out there and maybe get a start in life, or then you take care of your senior citizens and your veterans. That's the highest priority to me as far as housing is concerned.
All right. Okay. Other issues that our county, obviously, always budget issues and concerns, the opiate drug epidemic concerns. But for you, for kind of commissioner, you know, just dealing with roads and infrastructure and jobs and county policies, what have you done, Mr. Detroit, that you're proud of? You look back and say, wow, this was a good thing we did, and I want to keep doing this for the county.
Well, I've listed some of the things. We had a serious problem with the East Lake sewer when I first ran, and I ran on the premise that I would fix that, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you a story about it, but it takes about 10 minutes to tell that story. But long story short, when I went before the board that has the loan over there in Olympia and told them, listen, you know, we got to refinance this thing. We got to make it affordable for the county. And one of the guys on the board said, no, or what? And I said, or you're going to own a piece of pipe in Okanagan County. And he said, well, if you default on the loan, that's going to affect your bond rating. And I said, Okanagan County doesn't have a bond rating. So he looked at me and he said, we need to talk. So that's how we got it refinanced. And now we have two payments set aside for a rainy day fund, I would call it.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, we had problems with the Whistler Canyon trailhead and that where the county got sucked into a land purchase that they never should have participated in. I worked on that. And I think I've referred to that before. Mm-hmm. I told you, you know, I refer to it as the late, great Trig Culp. He was a real instrumental guy with the Backcountry Horseman, and I worked hand-in-hand with Trig on that deal, and we came up with a solution that was good for everybody.
Okay.
And put that back on the tax rolls and still got the trailhead done. And then the geothermal HVAC, you know, that we did in the courthouse.
Right, yeah.
That was a ticking time bomb, I'll tell you. So that was a great thing to get done for the county.
Okay. A listener called in with a thought about the apex predator issue. Can't the tables be reversed on these people who are saying they are protecting wolves and bears? They take animals, put them out in areas where they have nothing to eat, let them overpopulate themselves to the point that they suffer. How is that considered to be humane, what they're doing in the guise of trying to protect these animals?
Well, It's a big problem because I've often said, you know, let's use an urban situation.
Mm-hmm.
A housewife in an urban situation will run out in the street and snatch her kids up if there's a Doberman Pinscher coming down the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
That same lady will sit down at night and write a check to save the wolves at her kitchen table. So the mindset, I call it the Walt Disney syndrome, you know, like Perry the squirrel, and all is great in nature, and people get that syndrome, and they are out of touch with reality. Mm-hmm. Their reality check is bounced. I mean, they don't get it. They think all is well, and if they could come out and see firsthand some of the damage and see what's happened. Look at what we had in Okanagan County here, where that gal was
treed.
Yeah, you know.
Ooh.
And that was an interesting scenario, and we called those guys to task, and we got them in here and read them the Riot Act, and that was a tipping point for me on me supporting Steve Brown for sheriff. Is how he handled that situation with the feds was the kind of leadership that we need in this county when it comes to that type of altercation. You know, he told them where the cow ate the cabbage, basically.
Right, yeah. If you've never seen wolves in their natural habitat doing what wolves do by just genetic design, you don't understand wolves. You
know,
what a horrific. That was a, well, I mean, that could have been, okay, anyway. You have critics out there.
Mm-hmm. On the wolf issue or on all issues?
I think on all issues. Probably most of your life. I'm telling you nothing new. One of the things that, and I want you to answer those critics, one of the things that we hear is that you're really only a commissioner for two interest groups, Farm Bureau, and then this large family farm down south of us, and that the rest of the county you really don't care about. Answer that. How do you answer that? Can I tell you?
You know, you know, we have, fortunately, Okanagan County, in my estimation,
okay, yeah,
my constituents are still the good, hardworking, common sense type people. And we have a few pockets of radical people, radical thinking people, and you know, some of these organizations are well funded and they scream the loudest, but fortunately, you know, we have a vast majority of people in Okanagan County that are just good, hardworking, common sense type people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who I want to represent.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's no different than the marijuana issue. You know, when the marijuana thing came up, it was a referendum. And being a county commissioner, I had to, you know, not voice my personal opinion and just look at it as, okay, here's what we have to do, and what's the best avenue to go about it, and how are we going to get it to work, you know, in our county situation.
Yeah, okay. Wow, all right. What else is going on with your campaign? This is your second, third time doing this, and mm-hmm. It seems to me, and the other candidates I've talked to as well on both sides of the aisle, you know, R or D, or even those occasional I's that to me don't have enough guts to tell you that they're actually an L for liberal. But anyway, that's
exactly correct.
That's my personal opinion. I'm supposed to leave those to myself. Okay, but anyway, that amongst most of the candidates, you know, things are, you know, fairly civil, but amongst the supporters of the candidates, things have gotten really nasty.
Yep.
I've
never seen it to the level that it is here in the county, and I think it's despicable myself. You know, my personal attitude towards it, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And I think you're going to see, you know, that Okanagan County is still. I'm going to come back to that common sense and basic mm-hmm. thought process of my constituents in Okanagan County, and the big time, I'll call it Washington D.C. politics, really don't work here.
Yeah,
you know, people are by and large fed up with that type of stuff, and when they get out there and start throwing this dirt around, you know, it just goes right back to their character. You know, that's the barometer that I use. You know, if they want to do that, their integrity level and just goes in the toilet with them.
Okay. We got a few minutes left. Ballots are out. They're due November 6th. I know the auditor's office is already counting ballots, and my understanding is they're way, in terms of actual ballots received, they're way ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of ballots are in, but still people are out there undecided. What do you feel, Jim, is the most important thing that differentiates you from your opponent this time around?
Well, the level of experience that I've gained
mm-hmm.
From this office, and it's true. I said, you know, in the beginning that I didn't want to run. I wanted to retire. And basically, nobody stood up on my side of the aisle and said that they would run. And I was having dinner with Shelley and Jacqueline and Joel in Olympia one night. And Joel said, you know, Jim, if you don't run, your seat's going to be occupied by a liberal. And I said, no, it's not. I'm not gonna go there, Joel. So that's the reason I decided to step up for the third term.
Okay. All right.
But I have told my caucus, my Republican caucus, this is the last time. I'm going to tell you, this is the last time.
Okay. So this is the last time for Jim Detro. Okay. Well, best of luck to you, sir. And I know that you, as you all know, we're not going to kid ourselves. You know, you have your distractors.
Oh, yeah.
Because you need to work on your outspokenness. You're kind of shy in public.
Yeah.
But I think it is that outspoken, really rural Washington, rural Okanagan County, a common sense, whatever you want to call it, attitude and look out of, you know, way to look at life. That people appreciate, but also that causes you problems, know.
Yeah.
I mean, so
comes with the territory.
Yeah, it does. So, you know, best of luck to you in the election, and hopefully we'll see you.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Brian. I tell people all the time, I'm not a politician, and I'm not politically correct. And if you listen to me for a few minutes, you'll figure that out.
You approve of that time and time again, which is refreshing. I'm okay with that. As long as we know, you know, beep, we're okay. All right. Hey, Jim, take care.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Okay, thanks
a lot.
Huh?
Bye.
Polly Wade, CPA, realtor, and wife of celebrity craftsman Chip Wade. The Home Depot is the place for the next generation of lawn care. This fall, no matter where you live, the Home Depot has all the supplies you need for your lawn or gardening projects. Change your grass for the better and for the winter with products from Scotts. You'll also find plenty of DIY project ideas at the Home Depot that make for fun outdoor activities. Visit homedepot.com/outdoors for details. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
This week, only at the Home Depot, select 7.5-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas trees are just $99. The Home Depot has a stunning selection. Choose one that's easy to set up, one that shines with white or multicolored lights, one that leaves enough money in your budget to put gifts under that tree. Select 7.5-foot artificial Christmas trees, just $99. This is how we owe Christmas tree. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through November 7th. Limit 3 per customer. See store for details.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Have you tried that trendy new dating app? You can have months of frivolous fun with people who just love to play games. But if you're ready for something more grown up, try the Match app. Over 30,000 new people a day are heading to Match for grown-up conversations that lead to great dates and beyond. Our listeners that go to Match.com can start for free today. View photos and informative profiles to get a deeper sense of the people you'd like to meet. Start for free today at Match.com. That's Match.com.
Dear Vet Ticks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, Vet Ticks.
Dear Vet Ticks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, Vet Ticks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience. Give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
And welcome back to our Thursday Open Line. Your host, Brian Bowes, and from the Okanagan County Commissioner's race to the Okanagan County Auditor's race, one of the two candidates vying to replace the retiring auditor, Lori Thomas. And we are visiting now with candidate Randy Gates. Good morning.
Morning.
How's it going?
Oh, awesome. Love coming down here.
This has to bring back some memories of some sort.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I got something hidden someplace around here.
Yeah, it's in a time capsule.
Yeah, my own personal time capsule, I'm sure. If I think about it, I'll let Chris know about it so he can find it.
Okay, so let's just get right to it, all right? Former auditor employee.
Yes.
For whatever reason, left, boom, gone for, I don't know, what year, 2 years or however long it's been. And now you want to come back and be in charge.
Sure.
Explain that.
Well, working out and about and get approached by a lot of people who, you know, I had no ambition to do this. I just said, miss you, miss your smile, miss your willingness to help, missing all of your great customer service skills you provided. And I just want to tell people thank you. And the more I had people approach me, the more I thought, well, you know, instead of complaining about what went wrong, why don't I just go in there and fix things?
Okay. So what... From your perspective, then, I mean, what needs to be fixed?
Oh, our customer service.
Okay.
It's our auditor's office. It belongs to all of us.
Okay.
I mean, the auditor's office works for you. It works for the whole county. So when you walk in there, you should feel like everybody's happy to help. It shouldn't be like folks are using rules and regulations to stop you from being able to do what you need to do. They should step up to the plate and say, well, this may be why we can't do this today, but here's what we're going to do to help you. They should go the extra mile.
Okay. All right. If on November 6th, November 7th, you wake up and, hey, you're the new county auditor, are you ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can step right in and...
Oh, sure. You know, there's going to be some transition periods and there's going to be, you know, some give and take. You know, I'm going to have to give a little and take a little, too, you know, because it becomes a team effort at that point. You know, you got a staff and a crew, and we all have to work together, and we all have a common goal in mind. I mean, everybody in the county all works within the auditor's office. I mean, there's so many different things going on that you just got to be willing to put your best foot forward and, you know, try to make things work. You know, it's you want to succeed.
A lot of those courthouse offices, they do lots of stuff. In the auditor's office, where you're looking at the financial stuff and audits, and then of course licensing voting and this all sorts of stuff going on in there. Do you have to have as an auditor, Randy? How much, I guess, certification? How much do you have to be knowledgeable? I mean, how much do you have to be dialed into all those different facets?
Well, it's a county office that's elected so that anybody can do the job.
Okay.
I mean, of course, you're going to want to have some knowledges, you know, and some experiences are going to help because you do have so many things going on. You have the elections, which the folks in the elections department have to be certified and continue their certifications.
Okay.
Vehicle licensing, those folks have to be certified with the state and continue their certifications. Because I previously worked in licensing for all those years, all I have to do is retest and I become certified. There's no waiting period or anything. I just take the test, my knowledge test, and my certification is immediately upheld. So, there won't be any lag time there. I will have to become certified in elections, which would be something that I would plan to do, but most people would have to anyways, you know.
Yeah.
With the recording department, you know, it's just something of learning the process. I mean, I'm exposed to, after being there for 10 years in the office, you get exposed to everything. So, you know, there's going to be some learning processes, but, you know, when you're eager and willing to help and you want to step up in there and go for it, it'll just be a process of continuing your education. I mean, we all should never take the approach that we know everything. Be willing to learn and improve and take criticism and, you know, take that information and build upon it. And so, you know, I've even joked with people saying that, you know, even to be sheriff these days, that's an elected position. You don't actually have to be a law enforcement officer to become sheriff. You just get elected and then you would have to become, you know, certified with the state as a law enforcement.
Right.
But the way the books are set up, you know, it's an elected position. So,
okay. You in your campaign, well, not so much of a campaign, but in your interviews and like at forums and in the paper and such, you've made you aren't trying to buy the election.
I'm trying to earn it.
Okay, so now what do you mean? What's by buying the election? What does that mean to you?
Well, to me, you know, I started, you know, I went out and bought my first round of campaign signs, 10 of them or whatever, and one of them blew away down by my sister's house, so I've actually only got 9 signs out there. So if you find the 10th one out there, hey, proudly display it. Not a problem there.
Yeah.
And I started seeing that, you know, I was in a position where every dollar I spend, they're going to spend $2 more. Every dollar, you know, and I started thinking, you know, I don't want to go using my money, and I didn't. I was going to visit with people. I even turned away some campaign funds. I mean, how many? I'm not a real politician by heart because how many politicians, you know, that's going to turn away some campaign dollars?
not too many. No.
I just got to the point where there was enough campaign signs out there. You know, I had to put a few in some key places that I like, and I just started realizing that, you know, I get numb to all these campaign signs, even if they're out there. I started, you know, even though I see them, I'm ignoring them, you know, so they kind of lose their glare, their glitter within the first few times of seeing one in a location. And I started thinking, well, how can I get my word out and how can I be out there without spending this money? And I decided, you know what? I could just go to the communities, pay a little bit of my gas money, which, you know, not a big deal. We have a kind of a large county, but each week I was putting in like about 90 miles, 45 miles to Oroville, maybe, you know, 45 miles to Grand Coulee, 45 miles, you know, no matter which way you go, you're going about 45 miles to get to some of the areas. And, you know, so it was costing me about $10 a week to go out and take my campaign sign that I made a picket sign out of, stand at some corner and smile and wave at folks and give give people an opportunity to come up and visit with me. I put a lot of time in up at the OMAC main stoplight there on the highway.
Yes, you have.
I love just going out there. You know, I being from the county and having my family here in the county, I was blessed enough to marry a wonderful woman, Leanne. We have three daughters and four grandchildren, and of course, being with, you know, the only male in a female-driven household, when you went shopping, I'd be done shopping in an hour, 2 hours. It took them five or six. So what does a guy do for 4 hours? Well, you know, there's only so much electronics and sporting goods departments that you can sit around, hang around, you know, those kind of things. Yeah. So I started becoming a people watcher. So I'd hang out at the malls and, oh, that person's late to work. Oh, they're going to go, you know, there's another one of me just waiting for their family, you know. And so I'm standing at the stoplight, and my wife goes, oh, hey, I haven't seen you for home for lunch. You know, I'd like to come visit with you. I said, oh, come on down, hang out with me. 5 minutes later, she's like, I'm out of here. She goes, this is embarrassing. I go, well, what do you mean? She goes, I don't know how you can do this. I said, well, I'm people watching. So as I'm out there waving, and, you know, I have people that drive by, and I'm like, oh, they're not going to look no matter what, you know. They're just going to keep driving, you know. That one probably thinks I'm asking for money, you know. That's right. You know. And but some people would be like,
well, campaign for food or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some people would be almost jumping out of their car waving at me, and I'm like, oh, no, don't cause a four-car pileup. You know, local politician causes five-car pileup at stoplight, you know. But it started making me think that I can earn the votes instead of buying the votes. So, you know, I decided I wasn't going to buy any ads, and I was just going to be me and visit with people and hang out. And I've got a good response by it. You know, I'm the only candidate out there that I've seen that's actually been, you know, I thought about going door to door, but then you're in the person's face. I didn't want to be to where somebody didn't have an out, you know, knocking on the door. Hey, I'm Mr. Gates. I'm running for auditor. You know, you're kind of in their zone. So I picked a place that was a public spot and just kind of hung out, and I've had a lot of fun with it.
Okay, so then, how's it working for you? I mean, have people responded? Are people talking to you? Are you answering questions? Are you getting the word out?
Oh, sure. I was in Espelum, and I was standing I went up to, because I was trying to think of different places to go. So I had a loop. I'd go Nespelum, Grand Coulee, Brewster. That'd be my little loop. And so I was at the main office there for the tribe, and the beautiful complex they had, standing by the Squalicum Church or whatever the old cabin church they have there. And I'm like standing there trying to wave at people, and I'm thinking, wait a second, I'm looking down the road, there's a lot more traffic down there. So I pack up my little sign and drive down over to the trading post, and I start hanging out at the trading post there with the sign. What a great, what a great place, by the way. Great people too. And I had more people stop me and ask me a few questions there, and, you know, saying, hey, I saw you in OMAC and you're here. I'm voting for you just because I've never seen anybody stand here, you know, campaigning. I've never seen anybody here before. And I was like, well, that's cool. I'd go to TWSP. Of course, being a Republican at TWSP, most of my comments are people come up and say, how are you running? I'd say, a Republican. They say, oh, I don't want to talk to you. They walk away, you know. But a lot of Democrats over there, which is fine, you know. But it was just great to meet people. And I started to have people come up to me even now, and they say, hey, you know, I voted for you just because you were the only candidate that looked like they wanted the job. You were out there.
Okay.
You weren't, and I said, well, yeah, that's where I kind of coined the phrase, I want to earn the vote, not buy it.
Gotcha.
Plus, I started thinking, you know what, I'm going to run my campaign the same way I plan to run the auditor's office, on the leanest budget I can. We all need to save money. I think there's a lot of fat in the county, a lot of offices where you can just, you know, technology the way it is, there's monies out there we can save. It's not a lot, but every dollar we save is the dollar that we all save, because it's the county.
Yeah. Randy, while you're out there on the campaign trail, literally and figuratively both, people are talking to you, apparently, stopping to talk.
Sure.
What are you hearing? I mean, are there issues that people have with the auditor's office now, and things that they think you can make it better or do differently? What's their thinking? What's going on?
Well, again, it comes down to the customer service aspect. People love the way I communicate and how I visit with them and how helpful, and I'm always smiling. I mean, it's contagious to be in a good mood and be happy. Most of the time I get approached by people saying, what are you going to do about my property taxes? You know, so people are confused between the auditor's office and the assessor's office. So that, tends to be the biggest question I have to deal with is, no, I'm running for the auditor. I deal with your licensing, your recording, your election process and stuff like that. So it's kind of more of an education process, you know, but people are just, hey, we miss you.
Okay. I may get in trouble with this next question, not with you, but I know there's some people that are listening, so I might get in trouble if it's not PC enough. Well, tough. Okay, here's the reality. If you get elected, okay, and you've kind of already mentioned this with your home life, if you get elected, you're going to be in an office as a elected official. Well, with a lot of women. And management style, and how do you perceive getting along and handling that dynamic?
Well, you know, I worked there for 10 years, and I was the only guy for many years. And realistically, there was very few issues and very few problems. And it's just because it's a willingness to do what it needs to do to get the job done.
Sure.
You know, I'm not going to step on any toes. I'm not there to push anybody out. We all have a job to do. Let's do our job, and, you know, we'll stick. Nothing's really going to change other than the fact that we're going to really step up and try to help people. You know, we're going to smile a lot more. We're going to try to say, hey, what can we do to help you, you know. And so,
absolutely.
You know, it's just going to, you know, a lot of the folks that work there have worked there with me many years, and okay. we have a great relationship.
Good deal. I'm one of those people, and I'm sure there are others out there, I would hope. I'm not the only one in the whole county, but what exactly, we talked about it a little bit, we kind of touched on some of the different aspects, but what all does the auditor's office, what are they responsible for?
Well, there's a lot going on. You got all the financial stuff, of course, you know, audits. And one of the things that differentiates me a little bit that I haven't heard many people, there's a few people say, you know, I plan to be very transparent. It's our auditor's office. Those numbers and finances and audits that I'm performing are all public information. So every time payroll comes through, I'm going to put out there on a website or whatever I have, social media, Here's what our payroll for this month was. So you can actually see month to month what our payroll is. Here's what the accounts payable was, which is just probably not very popular with a lot of, you know, here's what the treasurer's office reported, you know, because it may cause other issues with those departments saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, people are now calling me because they're saying, what's this amount, what's this thing you're putting out there? But these are numbers that we all should know. It's ours. We should take ownership of and be aware of, you know.
Okay.
And so there's the finances, you know, accounts payable. There's the daily stuff happening in the office. You have licensing. You have recording. All bringing in revenue, even elections from time to time is going to bring in some revenue that this money is reported daily and logged, and then you're going to have, of course, weekly, monthly, and yearly finance reports. And those things I'm going to put out there because I want people to know, hey, you know, am I doing the job, or, you know, is this, you know, if there's an issue, Randy, where'd this come from? You know, so I have more questions because I plan to question a lot. Maybe I'm not the biggest financial guru. I mean, I've taken accounting classes. I've Rosamond Dibble in Omak High School was my fave. She had her for 2 years. That lady was incredible. She was probably one of the only people that ever gave me detention. It was probably usually because I was talking too much. If you've ever been in Rosamond Dibble's class, you know, she's by the book, and, you know, you learn a lot, but, you know, social butterflies, as long as it's accounting related, fine, but if you're off on a tangent, guess what? Now you're visiting with her after class a little bit. And
she taught me how to bowl.
Oh.
Saturday morning bowling with Mrs. Dibble, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, then when I went to college, Western Washington University, I just didn't, coming from a small town, going to a big school, even though I was an honor student, graduated from OMAC honors, fifth in my class, the second guy, you know, he was only 1/10% or 1/10 point ahead of me, you know, Paul Brandt, what a good friend. And from that to Bellingham, I just didn't assimilate the college atmosphere. So I ended up at a Cascade Business College for accounting and business. And I was doing great in that school, and then all of a sudden its finances shriveled up 3 months before graduation, and it went away. So, you know, I came home and planned to go back and do things. But life and family takes off, and you just learn that, you know, schools was something I planned to get back to, but got off in a different tangent, just had fun and enjoyed life. So, but there's the finances, then you're going to have the licensing portion of it, you know, vehicle licensing is, right. is a big part of the auditor's office. That's probably where you have a lot of the traffic coming in. A lot of people come in to do their vehicle tabs and titling and stuff. Then the next would probably be recording because you have, you know, deeded properties, you have marriage licenses, you know, and we have a vast array of information there that we retain and digitize and keep on hand. And then, of course, elections are really important. And you know, I vow to try to keep with this postage paid election. I mean, we're getting a pretty good result with people being able to turn in their ballots by mail. Just remember, don't mail them on Tuesday and think that they're going to get counted, though, because if they don't get stamped and post-dated that Tuesday, they're not going to get counted. So if you're throwing it into your mailbox at your rural place, make sure you probably want to do it Monday or even Saturday. Sooner the better.
Sure.
You know, and then it's just a lot of things going on. It's just a little busy little office.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, and you want to go back to that craziness and.
Well, you know, after 10 years, you know, you become part of the group and
kind of got
you
kind blood, of,
yeah, you know, it's just, you know, and I just wanted to serve the county. You know, I've lived here all my life, except for about a 4-year stint, some in Bellingham and Spokane. I've always come back here because, you know, my parents are raised here, you know, and I learned after being in Bellingham and briefly in Spokane that there's no place better than home, you know.
Sure.
Tap those little red shoes and say, there's no place like home. There's no place like home, you know.
Yeah, I've known your family for years, especially your dad and your uncles and the folks, but I didn't realize until I had a chance to co-officiate at Ruth Leslie's memorial service, and I wondered why is my friend Bill Gates here? I had no clue about that Molson.
Oh, sure.
Connection. Said, oh my. So then I started talking to people. So, oh my gosh, wow. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, we have family pictures at the Molson yes. Was museum right yes. up there on the wall. You know,
customer service. You mentioned customer service.
Oh, you bet.
Hours of operation.
See, that's one thing I think we should change. The auditor's office, when I first started working there, we were open from, like, I think it was like 8:30 till 5 or something. And we'd actually open like at 8:15 or something, because as soon as we could get the things ready to go, we got up and running. And it slowly got smaller and smaller, you know, just because there's, you know, closing and opening procedures and stuff that needed to be done. But the actual courthouse building opens at 8 and closes at 5. It's all electronic locks. And with such a vast and huge county, we have folks coming to see us from all over. Some of them are coming, you know, when you live in the Nespelem Grand Coulee area for licensing, there's not a licensing office there. The one there was closed. Mm-hmm. And so now you got an hour's drive. And a lot of those folks, and that's why, you know, a lot of the offices there close at 4, so you can still get places to do some business, you know, before the 5 o'clock when a lot of people go home. But, you know, you have folks from Twisp and Oroville. I mean, it's almost an hour drive from the farther reaches. I mean, nice thing is Okanagan County kind of centrally located. So by closing at 4 o'clock, folks have to pack up in some of these places and head down there by 3 o'clock in the day or schedule their day or, you know,
okay.
have to. And by opening from 8 to 5, it wouldn't be very hard because we have multiple people, you know, a lot of people are cross-trained down there and we're going to continue cross-training. But we have multiple people in each department so we could stagger our shifts so that one person comes in early and one person stays a little later and be available to work 8 to 5.
Okay.
And it would just be so much better for everybody in the county to be able to, you know, not have to make special arrangements just to come to their county office to do their business.
Yeah.
You know, I also would like to approach some of our sub-agents for licensing. They have the ability to stay open until 7 o'clock at night and try to talk each one of my sub-agent offices to pick a day and stay open until 7. So for licensing needs, you know, even if the courthouse, you work till 5, the courthouse closes till 5, well, hey, Tenasket's open until 7 on Tuesdays or Brewster's open until 7 on Wednesdays. You know, it just gives us more options.
Gotcha.
And it's very doable. And in some of the sub-agent offices, if they think about it, might go, hey, that's actually a good idea. You know, the courthouse is closed. I can advertise, hey, come see us. We're open late on this day.
Right.
And pick us some extra business.
Yeah. Brings people into their business as well, sure. Okay, so in the time we have left, this is one of those rare situations where the incumbent is not running, not seeking re-election. She's deciding to retire. So we have two, you know, brand new entities, as it were. One former employee, one current employee. What, Randy, in your estimation, really separates you from your opponent?
Well, first off, I really like Carrie. I always have. I worked with her there, and we even through the campaign trail, you know, we have built up a little bit of a repertoire. We've continued that. So, you know, I personally believe that like a lot of our offices that are up for elections, we're in a win-win situation. We have a lot of good candidates in the county that are stepping up to the plate and willing to go the extra mile for our county and try to help out. So no matter how you look at it, again, I'm not a true politician. You know, I'm not going to – Carrie's a great person. She's got a lot of good experiences. One of the big differences is, you know, I've spent 30 years in customer service working with the public.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time interacting back and forth. She has, in a part-time basis, of course, done that, and she's really good at it. But she, like she says, 19 years of finances, you know, she's usually in an office back someplace dealing with fellow employees and in those kind of situations. Not really a true customer service 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, you know. And I understand, you know, in the past year or two, she's done a lot more. And it's not that she's no good at it. It's just, you know, after 30 years, I feel I've learned a little bit more, and I've got this attitude of happy to help. You know, we should be willing to do whatever it needs to be done to make you feel like, especially at our office, where it's the county's auditor's office, you should feel like the boss when you walk in there. As the auditor, I would work for you. So, you know, I plan to use social media. Hey, have any problems? You know, be available. So if you're working with one of the employees there and there's an issue, you could actually, you know, hit me with a Instagram or something, and I'll pop right out if I'm available and try to see if we can go even farther and give you even more service to try to help you. You know, I want to be there, you know, if I'm not working in a particular office or helping in a particular situation, I'll probably be right at the front door. Hey, Brian, good to see you. How have you been? What's going on? What can we do to help you? Oh, right over here, Mr. Schmitz is willing to do your licensing for you or whatever, you know.
Just show me where the basket of chocolate is. I'll be happy.
Yeah,
I'll
well, you know, and I plan to continue the Tootsie Rolls, too, but that's another thing a lot of people have said is, you know, are you going to keep having Tootsie Rolls? Well, even if you notice during the Stampede Parade, I threw out Tootsie Rolls because I figured that was an iconic little thing.
Chocolate.
But I have a lot of other people said, well, can we have more than just Tootsie Rolls? And I said, well, we'll figure that out as we go, you know. And so, you know, I think customer service is there. Other than that, you know, just you know,
okay.
Just love the county. Just love people. You know, it's a great opportunity to give back to my community that's been so good to me.
All right, well, Randy, hey, best of luck to you. It's almost over.
Well, and what I really wanted to really emphasize today, because
yes.
you were mentioning with Jim, is a lot of the ballots have already been sent in. I've met so many people that, is, you know, even at the stop sign and stoplight, that, you know, I've been staying out there even knowing that the ballots are in and people are balloting. And, you know, a lot of people roll down their window, hey, I voted for you too, you know, and all this stuff. So I know a lot of the ballots are in, but we really need to emphasize, because during the primary, even though those ballots were postage paid, there was a lot of ballots that didn't get counted because the post date on the ballot was not Tuesday the 6th or whatever the date in August it was.
Right, yeah.
And so even if you're going to put it in by the mail, if you're going to vote on Tuesday, make sure you go into the post office and physically watch them stamp that ballot.
Yeah.
Because you want to make sure your ballot gets counted. And it's a great idea that the state has come with this postage paid so that everybody, you know, no excuses, you know, just fill out your ballot, throw it in your mailbox.
That's right.
But the longer you wait, the more you got to think about what's going to happen to that ballot.
Okay.
If you can, use one of the mini drop boxes. That's another thing as an auditor I would try to do, is increase the amount of drop boxes, especially if we're going to use postage paid elections, because every ballot that's dropped off is not postage, which means that saves money. And again, we all should think about saving money. So if you can, use one of the drop boxes. I know there's City Hall in OMAC. There's going to be one in Pateras. And I think in the, you know,
I've never mailed a ballot ever.
Or stop by the auditor's office.
Yeah, I take mine and drop them in there. Because I miss that election board interaction with, you know, going in the ballot box and talking to the ladies.
Well, then you get your little sticker too.
I miss that interaction. So I always take mine in just because I want to feel like I've actually, you know. Yeah, anyway, it's just pissed off.
And so, you know, and it's right now there must be a bunch of folks if you know, they haven't, I've sent in my ballot, you've probably handled your ballot, Chris has probably got his ballot in, and a lot of folks, I don't know if they're just undecided or if they're just one of those folks that thinks, well, you know, the county doesn't work for me or the government doesn't work for me, you know, I don't feel, well, you know, you can't complain if you don't participate is what I tell a lot of people. I vote that way, I have the right to complain. You know, because I vote, and that's kind of a idiotic way to think about it, but it gives me justification for me saying,
if you want a voice, then vote.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't mind people, thinking, hey, I'm not a true politician. I'm just like you, somebody that wants, I've spent time working with the River Valley Soccer Club and some of the youth that are now adults themselves, and they come back and they say, hey, you were great, we really learned a lot from working with you, and it's great to see them now with their children say, damn, my kid's about ready to go into the soccer program. I start thinking, it's been that long. But, get that ballot, fill it out. There's some very important initiatives, I think, out there. If you're not into those local races, those initiatives are very important that we need to get our voice heard out there. I mean, we always say that the West controls our destiny. Well, if you want to try to have a say and to fix that problem, we need everyone. They're going to have so many percentage of ballots that don't come back in. We need to have almost every ballot come in because we're Eastern Washington, and from these, especially with these initiatives and some of these state things, we need our representation to represent us. And the only way we're going to do that is we have to make sure every ballot gets turned in.
Right.
We want to have our percentage of non-return ballots down to a bare minimum and let over the West Coast have a higher percentage, because sure, then that's going to bridge that difference. Yeah. But I would love for folks that haven't decided to mark the ballot for me. I'll work for you. I'm going to, do what I can to ensure that our county is viable and make sure that the services there continue for you, and that we're going to give you the best service that we can. We'll be happy to help you.
All right. Talking with Randy Gates, candidate for Kanawha County Auditor. Remember, vote. Vote your, if you want to have your voice, then vote. That's your privilege. That's your right. So, hey, Randy, best of luck to you.
Thank you, Brian. This is great. Right. I love coming down here. I'll have to try to think of more excuses to come down besides just having to come and talk political. It's kind of hard to do when you feel yourself just a, I always tell people the hierarchy is I'm a family man, a resident of the county. That's, to me, the R for Republican actually stands for resident. Then I'm a patriot, because I love my country. Yeah. And then I'm a Republican. So that's kind of the way I look at my hierarchy,
Okay. All right. Randy Gates, Okanagan County Auditor candidate. Thanks for coming. Have a good day.
You bet.
All right.